Welcome to Sunday Service with Dr. Paula Price. Take a seat, open up your Bible, and prepare to enjoy an evening of praise, worship, revelation, and insight as Dr. Price releases pearls of wisdom from the throne of God.
I always tell a story. I just told it again to one of my peers. A man, Tali and I, were on a business trip, on a ministry trip, and one of them, a man asked me, why do you think God gave all that you have to you? Because if I was God, I would not give it to a black woman. I would give it to a white man. Because you have so much, and God would have to know the warfare that a black woman faces. And if I wanted to get something like that out, I would never give it to a black woman. That's my story. If I could sit down now, I could just pretty much sit down now, can't I? Now, this man wasn't even trying to be funny. He wasn't trying to be mean. He wasn't being religious. He was genuinely stuck as to why God would give all that I have to me when he knew it would be difficult for me to be accepted. I know, it's stunning, isn't it? You're looking at it like you can't believe it. But that's common for me. That's what I deal with all the time. All the time. And then we'll start getting folks in the church, and you get the people in our church that say, well, I'm sorry, it's just too many women. And you're right, because men don't stay because of that man's sentiment. It's that man's sentiment that says, if God wanted what you have to be valid, he would not have given it to a black woman. A woman first and a black one second. So you say, I don't make it on either side. And then there's the whole issue of the husband. How come your husband is not over you? Because us being the wife of God is not enough. The church is the one institution in our country and in the civilized, quote-unquote, modern world that can get away with that kind of abuse. And the people who are suffering, the victims, have no remedy. Because if they did that to you in your workplace, you'd have a cause for a case. You could resort and you could win. And the church keeps wanting us to believe that we are the greatest institution on the planet. When you have 50% of your people, you will not validate across the board, whether you're black, white, whatever. It's no different for a woman, whether I face it with a black man or a white man, whether I face it with an old man or a young man, it becomes a matter of individual preference. However, you need to know the truth. Here is the reality of what is. What I want to do tonight is to give you information, and I'm going to challenge you, my brothers. Because it is a challenge. Because you like to think that it's not your issue. And it is your issue. It may not be your issue on this point, but one moment or something, some woman in God is going to say something to tick you off, and you're going to immediately resort to your masculinity. Because you have no other defense but that. And that is a shame that the brothers in the kingdom of God, those that I've encountered, I've not encountered a lot of liberated men in the kingdom of God. I just haven't. I've encountered a lot of sweethearts, a lot of nice guys, but they all have that thing. And see, the sad part about it is that we have laws in our country against you doing that, but we don't have laws in the church against it. We have laws in our workplace against it, but women can be bankrupted in the church simply on the basis of their gender. And the men feel they're right. They feel that when we're suffering, that we are judged of God because we are cruelly judged by them. And they think it's okay to say the things that they do, to do the things that they do, to do the cruel things that they do that they can't do in their jobs. So where they're restrained by the sinner, the unregenerate, they let it out with the quote-unquote saved and regenerate. And somehow or another, they want us to be excited. Now, they think Jesus shares that. And of course, we know Jesus doesn't because he put everybody in power. Jesus is like, are you kidding? I have all I can do to by some means save some. And no company, no head of any company would choose failure over bigotry, even if they had to manipulate it another way. No company but the church, the traditional church of the Lord Jesus Christ, would choose failure. They would choose to have women to defect from God to fulfill their calling, rather than stay in the household of faith and labor for the Lord Jesus Christ. They would rather have us sin than serve the Lord in the church. Think about the alternatives, because sometimes we have our little theological things and we don't look at the outcome, the fallout from it. They would rather you work for the occult than to be prosperous in your service to the household of faith. All because of gender, testosterone, estrogen. So I want you to walk with me in this, because you need to know the truth. And you all need to be able to teach it. And I would ask you, brothers, to get your own copy of this and study it yourself. One thing I am known for, being the woman who wrote the Prophet's Dictionary that is selling all over the place and still selling very well, is that I'm known for research. So when I tell you I've dug stuff up, I've dug it up. So we're going to find out what thus says the Holy Ghost. There's a number of places to go, but I want you to understand. I did not want to teach this because, you know, a lot of times when you teach this, you know, a man who is a chauvinist, who is bigoted on any way, is the height of an abuser. Now, here's the attitude of an abuser, because it's abuse. I don't care what you say, it's abuse. Abnormal use of a gift or a talent that's given to you. So, one of the things that you need to know is abuser will do this. Like, they don't like it when we as women teach this. I've had men tell me, don't you teach it, leave a man to teach it. And I'm thinking, but a man's not living it. I'm gonna need you to live it. That's like saying, you know, don't you teach medicine because you're a doctor, leave it to a lawyer. See, you see, bigotry is stupid. And it never makes logical sense. But here's what they'll say. Now, there are going to be a bunch of folk out there who are going to listen to this, a bunch of men. And I want to tell you something. My sisters haven't been much more help. But a bunch of men, and they'll tell you, well, that's sour grapes and all of that. But isn't that what an abuser says? An abuser will beat you and then tell you something is wrong with you for feeling it. And tell you that something is wrong with you for being hurt. An abusive man will stop you and tell you, you made him do it. You made me mad. And then tell you to shut up and not cry, and tell you to cover your bruises so they don't have to look at what they did to you. And that's the same thing they do in the church. They will tell you, we will abuse you as women, we will bankrupt you, we will shut the door on you, we will ignore you, we will treat you like garbage, and by the way, don't you tell anybody we did it. It's an abusive spirit. And frankly, in the house of God, it's domestic abuse. It's spiritual domestic abuse. And that's what we have to fight. Not because the word is right. They don't care if you sin. They don't care anything else, but don't handle the word of God and be a woman. And that's real. So let's talk about where it came from. The basis of this is essentially several scriptures. So we're going to walk through those scriptures. The first one has to do with the priesthood. According to the Levitical priesthood, only men could be the priests. And so women were not. However, before there was a priesthood, there were women in ministry. Because we had Miriam, who was a prophet. Now, not only was she a prophet, but Miriam was considered the third person at the head of the nation when it was formed in the wilderness. So There was, if you had to look at it in our country, it would be president, vice president, and what? Secretary of State. And it's a woman. But you can't have that in the modern church. So before there was a priesthood, there was a woman who shared the leadership of Israel before we came up with priests. Now, the whole idea behind the priesthood, so we can just work that out right now, is that what the priesthood existed to do, it was not the priest's ability to teach or duty to teach. It was not their call to pray for people. It wasn't their call to do any of those developmental thing. The issue with women in the priesthood was the lifting and the lugging and the pulling and the tugging and the killing of the animals and the slaughtering. Women were not strong enough. That's the first issue. The second issue had, I mean, think about it. A cow, 1,000 pound, 500, 800 pound cow, 2,000 pound bull. Come on. Half of them probably need 7 men to lift it. So that was the first issue. The second issue is that they had to serve away from home for very long periods of time. It was not like us today. I could preach in California this morning and be home for dinner. And so that was the first thing. The second thing is that God said that no woman could cast her fruit before time. So if the number one covenant with God had was that they would not miscarry. They would not cast their fruit before time. If you've got to lift and lug and pull cows and bars and take the tabernacle down and put the thing up and all of that, guess what? You're liable to miscarry. Oh, yeah. A priest could not miss their rotation. Because if they did, well, that was against the law. And so, if you're pregnant, you got to take a little town time and go and do something stupid like have a baby. Then you got to nurse them and wean them. See, I mean, we just started letting pregnant women work to the end. You know, that was a time, if you said you were pregnant, you were fired.
Oh, yes.
You could have lied. You could have been captured, but you're gone.
That's right.
There was a time that if you said you were pregnant, when you got pregnant, you started showing you had to go. Couldn't look at that little pooch in the front. And then there was a time that if you got too big, you had to go. But that's neither here nor there. But somebody woke up and said, well, what we're calling them to do has nothing to do with their bodies. It has everything to do with their minds. And as with the priests, the mental labors were in everybody's grasp. Anyone could teach the gospel. And so God had female prophets. And apparently, he had a lot of them. So that wasn't it. So the reason that women were not in the priesthood was not because they were somehow or another mentally, scholastically, or academically inferior. They were just physically constructed to not have to lift hundreds and thousand pound animals. Doesn't that make a difference?
Yeah.
They can think. They can teach. They can prophesy. God even talked to them. Isn't that funny? Way back then under the law, he still talked to them. Hannah, prophetess. We can run on. You can't even say that a woman couldn't go to war because Deborah was a warrior. So that wasn't the issue. So, but God's issue was when it came time to come in before the Holy of Holies, the actual impurities of what happened in the Garden of Eden could not come before him. It was a biblical, edict in the law of Moses that you couldn't come before God with an issue. If a priest had sex with his wife, he couldn't serve. If he had admitted anything, he could not serve. Isn't that interesting? Because we don't talk about that either. Because you notice, if we're going to be using that, I'm here to say a lot of them brothers ought not to have sex for a very long time. They're going to be on a long trip. And your wife shouldn't be on a trip with you. Because if you're going to use that as a standard, Let me tell you, ain't nothing like hitting a brother there. All of a sudden, you want to change the law. Okay, now we're under grace. Because that same thing, if you had a cold, you couldn't preach. If you sneezed, you couldn't preach. If you had an infection, if you were wounded, you had a cut, you couldn't serve in your course. So if we're going to do it, let's do it all the way. Because that's the whole premise of the Mosaic law. Either you do it all or you do nothing. You can't pick and choose the pieces you like. You got all these men on these wonderful long vacations with their wives. Ain't nobody standing up there talking about, baby, we can't do nothing until we get back home. Who's saying that? Same principles, the same law. The law priests. And that is the law priests. And so now, we only find the ones that we want to use for bigotry. See, it's the root is bigotry and it's oppression. It is not the hallowness of God. Nobody's preserving God. God is big enough to deal with women, otherwise he wouldn't have made them. He apparently feels so highly and thinks so highly of women, he named the church a woman. So he planned on being surrounded by women and wrapped up in women forever. He gave his son a bride, not a husband. He made his spouse a female. Israel, a woman. Church, a woman. Anybody hear what I'm saying? He did not bring his son into the planet through a man. So now when you think about it, you have to look at your roots. And the hard as it is, we all got issues. We all have stuff that we have to get over. But let's get clear. If we're going to use the Mosaic law as a reason for God not to have women in ministry, then we're going to have to use the Mosaic law for a lot of things. Now let me go and add it one step further, and then I'm going to move on. The priests were all supposed to be from the tribe of Levi. Talking Bible. Now you know in the later years when they defected against God, they changed it to a whole other thing, you know, various other families. But in God's registry, all priests were to be descendants of the tribe of Levi. That's number one. Aren't we loving this? And only those who were born directly from the lineage of Aaron, all of those who could trace their lineage, their genealogy back to Aaron, could be priests. Now, while the whole nation was considered to be a kingdom of priests to the Most High, those to handle his sacredness had to be Levites. And they all had to come directly from Aaron. Not just any old Jew could do it. It had to be an Aaronic descendant. Now, if we're still using the same rules, then there are a whole lot of folk in ministry today shouldn't be preaching. And the only folk who should be running the church should be Messianic Jews from the tribe of Levi, from the line of Aaron. Now, that's a real small staff, if you ask me. Because I've heard people say, well, you know, my family's from Levi. Are y'all from Aaron? Because that's who I want to talk to. Because only Aaron could do that. If you're talking about getting into the deeper things of God, handling the holy things, the blue stuff, you know, the revelatory things. So now we have, several factors that have disproved that belief if we're doing it for God. I mean, if we're all being guardians of God's righteousness, and if that is the motive that we're using to preclude women from the priesthood, then I need every black brother from Africa, everybody from Asia, everybody from Australia, all y'all folk who cannot trace your lineage back to Levi and Aaron, I need y'all to quit the ministry too.
Come on.
If you can do it because of the blood of the Lamb, and you're claiming your liberty because of the abolishment of Moses' law, then so am I. So now that brings us back to bigotry.
Come on.
And it brings us back to chauvinism and the maliciousness that's in the hearts that needs to be delivered. Now, let's go and, you know, we've covered that. Wasn't that good?
Yes.
I know I'm messing with some of y'all. Isn't that great? I love this. I really do. I love this. You know, and I'm going to love y'all, brothers, but you're going to have to go home and repent. I have stuff I have to repent for. You got to go home and repent. You got issues. And you got issues maybe because of your mama, because of your sister, because the girlfriend that picked at you didn't go to the prom with you. You know, people got a whole lot of dumb stuff for their biases. We have a whole lot of anchors, soulless anchors for our prejudices.
Come on.
Some of these guys, you know, you're not very attractive physically. Some woman told you that. Maybe somebody hurt your feelings about your sexual prowess. I don't know, but none of that has to be. But none of that has to do with anything in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you need to search your heart and ask yourself, why is it so important to you to literally sabotage God's work for your personal agenda, your personal issues? Moving along. Now, the scripture that everybody loves to use, I always love this scripture. Don't you love the scripture? Okay, ladies, what scripture is it? I suffer not a woman to teach. I was sitting down to lunch one day with a young man and a woman, and we were talking about a business deal, and of course, you can tell when it's in there because they get mad. The voice gets shrill. Or they tend to get very harsh. You know that, you know that thing winding up down there in the spirit, winding up. You see, you know, until you get real harsh. You know, and all of a sudden they get the flexing and twitching. You know we going to Timothy. I know that is the root to Timothy. So end up in Timothy's house. Glory to God. And so anyway, so the guy is talking about who do I think I am, and you know, people always feel like, you know, because they don't know who they are, you don't know who you are. You ever notice that? You know, all right, you're in darkness about you. Me, I know me. I'm comfortable with that. And so he said, you know, who do you think you are? And he started slamming scriptures at me because people don't like you to use the word of God. They don't care if you use all of the extra biblical stuff you can find. Just don't use the word of God because that's where the power of the Holy Ghost is.
Come on.
Okay, so he was asking me all this stuff. And then he turned around and he said to me, yeah, but I mean, the Bible said that I suffered not a woman to teach. And I said, yeah, I did. He said, so how do you explain that? So I ran out on him this explanation, and he just looked back like I punched him in the stomach, and he looked to the woman, and he said to the woman, it was sitting in that, he said, I set myself up for that, didn't I? She said, I think she would have solved that before lunch today.
Okay, thank you.
So let's read Timothy. You want to go to Timothy? Let's go to Timothy. But I suffer not a woman to teach nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety.
Come on.
So I'm stuck. I'm sitting here saying, that's good. Because you ever notice, people who want to oppress you with the scriptures will always give you a verse. Yes. You get slivers. And if you get a whole verse, you've done well. They cannot tell you what led up to that thought, and they cannot tell you what that thought progressed on to. They don't care about that. All they care about is their cudgel. They just want to beat you to death. They want to club you with the word. you know, in my early years of ministry, I mean, when I came out the gate, my God, they beat me down with that thing over and over. Oh, my God, again. And so I go to God, and God said, I call you to preach. God, are you reading your own Bible? I need to know, King Jesus, if you have been in your own book lately. Because I'm thinking you must not have been in the book, because if you did, you know what these people said. So he said, go get it. I go get it, and I read it. I put it down. God, it didn't change. It says the exact same thing. It said the 97 other times I read it. And he said, read the whole thing. That was my first lesson in, don't you ever give people a single line or verse out of context.
Come on.
So I read it again. And he said to me, God himself asked me this question. He said, so what has childbearing got to do with ministry? I said, well, frankly, God, I don't know. He said, that's the point. They don't either. He said, no one had ever thought to read beyond that single verse. They stopped at verse 12, like that's the entire chapter. But he said, but notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity. The first thing he used was a model of a husband and a wife. Well, neither Adam or Eve were in ministry. Isn't that interesting? Neither Adam nor Eve were in ministry. There wasn't a ministry. There was Adam, there was Eve. They had one ministry, marriage. They had one message. Don't eat that eat from that tree. That was it. It was easy. They had the easiest challenge of them all. Yet, he's saying that the reason we have the issue with people, glory to God, like that is because the woman usurped authority over the man. Now, when you read modern translations, they take T-H-E out. They change the article.
It says a woman should learn in quietness and full submission. I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man. Mm-hmm. She must be silent. For Adam was formed first, then Eve, and Adam was the one, and then Adam was not the one deceived. It was the woman who was deceived and became a sinner. But women will be saved through childbearing if they continue in faith, love, and holiness with propriety.
Okay, read that last one again.
But women will be saved. Not they. Mm-hmm. Women will be saved through childbearing if they continue in faith, love, and holiness with propriety.
So they made it fit their theology.
Yes.
Which is why the King James Version still comes out right. Yes. And God's issue was a wife. The word for woman there is wife.
That's right. Come on.
It says wife. Strangely, though, it's in Strong's 1135, just if you want to do your own homework, and it says from the base of 1096, which is, you know, one who gives, and it says a woman, specifically a wife.
Uh-huh.
And it's the word, gunet, specifically a wife. So they couldn't do away with that. So then they decided, okay? Because, see, I mean, one thing about God, they can mess over the scriptures all day long. But bottom line is, he does it 3, 4, 5 different places. And they can't erase them all.
Come on.
And so the word for man is anyer. And it means husband. Individual male, but basically husband. But to be, so he's saying that as a woman, God does not expect you to teach your husband about him or to, and the whole issue God was facing with was using the abolishment of the law, the liberty from the law to usurp your husband simply because you no longer want to be in submission.
Come on.
Because it's just like the people in the, you know, the whole 80s and 90s heyday. Hey, we so free, we don't have to obey any law. We're free in Jesus. We can do anything we want. Why? people who so discredit God that they would even rewrite his word to support their view in a single generation, when this man has to cover generations and lives.
Come on.
So anyway, he says, nevertheless, if they continue in faith and trust. So I don't care what the modern translation says. There's a host of rooted stuff out there that you can't undo. That's like trying to undo a math equation.
Oh, come on.
Just because in your generation you don't like it.
Right.
Do you see that? So she's going to be saved in childbearing because she's a woman if she doesn't disobey her husband. So what is the flip side? If a woman is in ministry, she won't be saved. And don't you know men say that to me? I'm concerned about your salvation. I hear it. Now that's how stupid this has gotten. So you feel like something as physical as giving birth to a baby, when you have made your husband mad, can cause you to lose your salvation. But the malice in your heart is going to get you in.
Wow.
There is no, they added that. I'm telling you, read the Sword Project. Great, I'm telling you it's great. So, notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they who? Well, we were talking about a husband and a wife, so why would it just be all women? Unless you're pushing lesbianism.
Oh.
And in which case, childbearing probably won't show up.
Okay, you're going to have problems.
You see, you can do a lot with the word if you strip it from wisdom. You can distort scriptures all day long if you strip them from wisdom. But let's move on. So this scripture is about a husband and a wife, and a wife refusing to be submitted to her husband because she feels like she's got a call to ministry. And Paul is saying that kind of tension is not healthy for you or your fruit, the fruit of your womb. But he has a similar statement in Peter where he says that if the husband doesn't love his wife properly, their salvation is at risk.
Come on.
We don't hear that. See, we don't preach that one. And that their inheritance in Christ is bound up when there is abuse and mistreatment in the marriage. So let's move on. Y'all want to move on?
Come on.
I'll move on if you want to. Philippians. Now remember, this is Paul. This is Paul. Well, let me go back because I want to deal with usurp. It's important that we understand what he's talking about. So and that word is in there. It's G831. And they just took out because the NIV is a theological persuasion. That's why I like the King James, because there was no Protestant church when they wrote this. They were trying to develop it. There was a Protestant battle, but there was no real church. They had just barely birthed the Church of England, and Elizabeth did that. Elizabeth!
Wow.
Queen Elizabeth.
Come on.
Birthed the church. The Protestant Reformation, she protected it. She saved it.
Wow.
She helped wrench the church, the Protestant church, from Catholicism.
Right. Wow.
Queen Elizabeth, our woman.
Come on. Come on. Come on.
The doctrine of the Protestant church was formulated by Queen Elizabeth. I have the books. I've read it.
Come on.
The things that we believe, they would not let her be the head of the church because a woman couldn't be an apostle, because even way back then, they were still wrong.
Wow.
So she ended up being the governor of the church.
Oh.
Which is why she couldn't stand clergy.
Wow.
So she formulated it. And a lot of the things that she did, and she crafted as Protestant theology, hallelujah, she did because she was angry with them.
Wow.
So let's look at the word usurp. The word usurp is Strong's G831, and it's the root word authenteo, from what we get authentic. or authorship. Authenteo. And it means a worker. And it says to act of oneself or to dominate or to usurp authority over. If this thing is about husbands and wives, which is what he was talking about, then there was no, the only authority that she was usurping was marital authority.
Come on.
She was usurping her husband's authority over her. And Paul says, you're not going to do that because God said, until the end of time, the man is the head of the woman, the husband's the head of his wife. Because it didn't say they were preaching. It said to teach. So she wants to go home and say, hey, listen, you can no longer tell me what to do. I got Jesus too. I've got the Holy Ghost too. Christ is in me like he's in you. We're equals now. And Paul said, nope, because Jesus did not send us the Holy Ghost to increase the divorce rate. See how that played out. Want to go on? Let's turn to Philippians. Turn your Bible to Philippians 4, 2 and 3. Philippians 4, 2 and 3. I beseech Euodias. I think I really like that. I beseech Euodias and beseech, now look at the problem here, Syntyche. I beseech Euodias and Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true your fellow, to help these women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Okay, so here we got a problem. Does anybody see a problem? The same Paul who said women ought not to be in ministry is telling, now we're over here and what? Telling the Philippians, hey guys, help these women. Why? Because they were doing to them what they were doing to us. And the women were so busy struggling, they were trying to make it, they became contentious and competitive with each other.
Oh, wow.
Because they're trying to get a fair shot. And so he has to tell them, help these women who labored with me. You know, how many of y'all ever heard preached outside of us, Philippians 4, 2, and 3?
Okay.
Right. Did anybody ever say Paul had any women on his ministry team?
No.
And so he has to ask these people to get behind these women. Now you understand that Clement was well accepted. We don't know if we ever got, you know, Euodia and Syntyche, we don't know if they ever got any help. But Paul had to write that in order for them to realize that Jesus Christ did not have carnal male issues. Well, Jesus wouldn't. You cannot say that Jesus is the creator and the Lord God Almighty and he's afraid of what women are going to do to his gospel. He wasn't afraid of the devil. Why would he do that? Why would he lump the entire body of Christ, male and female, up under the word woman? We're sons of God by the Spirit because all spirits are male, because God is spirit. But we are a body of women. Now think about that. He called in Revelation 19, let me show you the woman, the Lamb's wife. Y'all read that? Did you read that somewhere? Not to receive. If you're going to fight something, know all of it. He said, let me show you, John said, let me show you the woman, the Lamb's wife. And he showed me New Jerusalem. Coming down from the heavens. I know it's so interesting. It's so interesting when you read the Bible the way God wrote it instead of everybody, what everybody said. You know, it's a little different. Because You realize that a lot of males did not want their wives in ministry.
Wow.
Okay? They didn't. They didn't want their wives in ministry. They did not want to have to miss dinner. You know, have to cook for themselves, take care of the kids, babysit. Actually, this Revelation 21:9. And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues and talked with me, saying, come hither, and I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife, gune. Same word in Timothy, the Lamb's wife. Same word, gune.
Hey.
Same word. Isn't it getting good?
Yes.
Same word. The Lamb's wife is a woman. Jesus is not married to a man. He's married to a woman. And all of the metaphors in 2 Corinthians 11, Paul says, I want to present you to Christ, the chaste bride. A chaste virgin. It's there. So the Lord doesn't have these issues. And never has had them. Because God's thing was, wait a minute. Eve might have been deceived, but Adam was deliberate. He was more than a transgressor. Adam committed treason. He sold God's whole race to another god in the body of a snake. Second John is an interesting one. And it starts off by saying, now this is John. I want to lay a little background. John is considered the apostle that Jesus loved, the one that leaned on him, that Jesus showed the revelation to. He is Jesus' number one, very best friend. You would think your best friend would know how you feel about things. When you think,
yeah.
He's his best friend. And so when he comes back and he gives the revelation to John. Well, first of all, because John knows him and John's his buddy, he gave his mama to John, not to another apostle. So John is his very best friend, his bosom buddy. And if anybody's going to know Jesus, it's going to be John. And if Jesus is going to make anybody his friend, it's going to be the one who takes care of everything that concerns him and who values what Jesus values. You know, people, I want to be a friend of God. How are you going to want to be a friend of God? You don't need to be like half of what God made. You can't ever be friends with somebody if you don't like their spouse.
True.
There's always going to be that problem because people are going to understand, how can you dislike something so near and dear to me? How can you treat something so near and dear to me so trashy? So disrespectful.
Wow.
So John would know, and he says the elder, you know, I like how, you know, these guys write, you know, I really do appreciate the word of God. But John writes, the elder to the elect lady and her children, whom I love in truth, but not I only, but also they that have known the truth, for the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us, and shall be with us forever. Grace be to you, mercy and peace from God the Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I rejoiced greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, or some of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye shall walk in it. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ has not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. Having many things to write to you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full. And the children of thy elect sister greet thee. Now, I've talked to traditional Christians and, you know, chauvinistic religionists. But I don't know what else to call them.
Amen.
They call me rebellious, and I think chauvinism is much nicer. It is bigotry. I'm sorry. Now, it may not be bigotry that they intend, and it may not be something that they're aware of. But when they did it to us as blacks, we were called, it was called bigotry. It wasn't it?
Yeah.
And prejudice. And now they are feeling like they are theologically sanctioned by the Holy Ghost to do that very thing to women. And that's unfortunate. We can't change the world like that. It's up to Jesus to change the world. He changes the world heart by heart. My prayer is that they come to the knowledge of the truth. But sometimes people need to know that everybody is not seeing their emotional justifications the way they intend. Now, he said the elder to the elect lady and her children. Now, I've talked to chauvinistic religionists, and they said to me that those were her natural children. So I go to God, because you know me and God are still running around. And God said, well, why would I pick her house out over anybody else's? He said, I had a bunch of women with children back then. What would make hers so different? I mean, because if she was doing something that was so great that it came to the Apostle John's attention, that he would be over her as an apostle. Well, who ever heard of an apostle being over somebody's family?
Come on.
Over someone's domestic household, over a mother and her children. If he was going to be over her because of that, he would have been talking right into her husband.
Okay.
Because remember, we just have the usurp thing going on. But listen to this. The word used for lady there is the Strong's 2959 Kuria. It's the feminine version of G2962. Her name was actually Syria, C-Y-R-I-A, a Christian woman, a lady. But now let's go to G2962, and it's the exact word used for Lord Jesus, which is kurios. And it means supremacy, supreme in authority, controller, mister, respectful, God, Lord, master, and sir. I was surprised that when we went to Spain, they translate Lord as sir. You know, Jesus is sir. Mm-hmm. Sir Jesus. But still master. So she's actually named, number one, she's named for her calling. Number two, he chose the word to let us know she was a woman in authority. Mm-hmm. Curious. Isn't that interesting? Mm. So John didn't have a problem. Paul didn't have a problem. Should be interesting to see what they write in your book. But lady there was Curious. I thought you'd find that interesting. Curia. And it's only used twice. And both of them are in 1 John. I beseech thee, lady, is the second time. So he would say, to the elect woman in authority. That's special. So, John knows Jesus. That means these guys, they were close. When they couldn't get anything else through to John, through to Jesus, they went through John. Peter, ask him what he meant. Peter said to John, John, go ask him what he means. He's your friend. I know he likes you. I don't know what they felt about it, But God and the Lord Jesus and John were close. So John would know if that was out of God's will. If no one else would put it together, John would. But I thought the ending was good. The children of thy elect sister. So we know John had two female churches. And apparently, they were in the will of God. And he commended her. You done a great job, girl. Your kids got a hold of the truth. Sound like me. Your children walking in truth. And in the commandment of love. Now, he had to exhort her to love because 9 times out of 10, the chauvinism was killing her. She was getting a little bitter and embattled. Hallelujah. Now, I often, let's go to, we all know 2 Corinthians 5:17, new creature. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away and all things have become new, and all things are of God, of God, of God. Galatians 6:15 says that neither circumcision nor uncircumcision matter. Actually, 6:16, he said, but a new creature. So, Jew or Gentile no longer matters. The only thing God uses is the new creation. Whatever vessel it is. Because when we get to heaven, there's no marriage. The people don't give, there's no childbearing in marriage. There's no marriage. They are having sex up there. Jesus is the only one with a wife. I know that's so heartbreaking for the brothers. You mean, God, never again? Be like, oh, God, never again? There were a lot of folks that I don't want to be saying, man, we're going to heaven. We ain't having sex no more. Yeah, you're not. No more adultery. No more fornication. Glory to God.
Thank you, Jesus.
No more procreation. No more STDs.
Hey.
Come on here. See, because all of that stuff ain't working now. No more homosexuality. Can you imagine? No more sodomy. No more lesbianism. Because you need sex to have those things. So we know those cultures ain't traveling.
Amen.
Because you neither, they're like the angels. They're neither married nor are given in marriage. Because God does not need to procreate in heaven. He got everybody up there he needs. That's number one. Number two. He does not have to worry about no longer being the center of attention. You will never tell God in heaven, I'm sorry, my wife wouldn't let me preach, my husband wouldn't let me go on the mission field. That will never be your word.
Amen.
Because Jesus is the husband of the whole world, all creation his. That's why you know God highly exalted him, because his spirit is going to contain that many beings. That's a lot of beings. And he said, they're going to love on me. I've been waiting a long time. It's my time. So you better get all you can here because you ain't getting nothing there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. That's why when you hear preachers fighting for gay and lesbian rights, I'm thinking, why? They can't have sex in heaven? So why are we telling them it's okay to break God's law here when that law is not even traveling?
Okay. Let's talk about it.
Don't you think that's hilarious? Preacher, but I just think that God loves homosexuals. He sure does. He loves homosexuals. He just doesn't love homosexuality.
Okay.
He's clear he loves a person. The act is abominable to him, period.
Yeah. Okay.
And you can't take it anywhere. You can't, I mean, think about it. If Jesus said we're not going to marry in heaven, and God measured marriage by two things, sex and procreation, if we can't marry in heaven, then God could care less whether you have same-sex desires or not. By the time you get to heaven, you got one desire, the Messiah.
One desire.
Now, I like the last passage of Scripture. Y'all still in love, everybody?
Oh, yes.
Hey, sons, y'all all right? Wave your hands. I just need to know, y'all. So, now, lastly, I always get hit with 1 Corinthians 11 about the woman in the head covering and the head of the man is the woman, the head of Christ, and all of that, you know, and it's shameful for a woman to be shorn or shaved. and let her hair be covered, and you know, the man ought not to cover his head, which means y'all don't ever need a hat on in December. And
okay, what in the world? What's happening?
But Paul's moving up. He's saying that we can pray and prophesy. So, 1 Corinthians. So he giving this whole thing, and then I went to God again. You know me and God. I tell you, during these years, me and God was real close. And the 16th verse says this: but if anyone seems to be contentious, we have no such custom, nor do the churches of God. It's in the book. I haven't had to extrapolate anything yet. I just read what was written. See how that goes?
Amen.
I just read what was written. So I will say to you in closing, since the beginning of time, humans have perverted what thus saith the Lord because they can't imagine what is on God's mind. They can't imagine the love that God has or the tenderness that was in his heart when he made every creature. They can't imagine what made God more indulgent, more accepting, which is a better word, than we can be. We can't fathom that. You know, you can't fathom. That same spirit is the spirit that would have drugged that woman out of bed with that man in John chapter 8, naked, drug her through the street to humiliate her and say, we're about to stone her, but Jesus, what would you do? And they couldn't relate to the love that he had for that woman because she was his handiwork. Because she came out of his being. She was a part of his soul. And he's like, I am not about to kill her. And where's the God, by the way?
Okay.
Because that same law said he should be stoned too.
Yes.
It's like the Christian schools that put the pregnant girl out of school and the boy gets a degree. And so that's the same spirit. They would have stoned that woman and celebrated that man back in then. Because if you believe it today, you believe it.
Come on.
They would rather she get an abortion and hide her sin so that their reputation remains intact, at least illusory.
Wow.
Because God and his kingdom and his world and his way are not the issue. The issue is a spiritual experience that makes them feel good about approaching something bigger than themselves. Just approaching, not obeying, and not becoming. There's no way you can justify the injustices that we do, that the church does to women, just strictly on the basis of a zipper. And if that is the case, then Jesus died in vain. And if you aren't saved enough to accredit my redemption, then guess what? You need to challenge your own salvation. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and all things have become new, and all things are of God, who has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Interestingly enough, that word, I just love how God thinks. Interesting enough, that word, reconciliation, is an interesting word. Because it is a word that means, among other things, atonement. Atonement. It's katalage, and it means atonement. Restoration to divine favor. And if you've been restored to divine favor, then I've been restored. If God exchanged your sin for righteousness, he exchanged mine. And if you've been adjusted enough to become compatible with the Godhead and useful to God, so have I. But if the law of Moses is truly abolished, then guess what? That law in the church should never have been on the books.
Amen.
Now, the New Testament doesn't uphold it, and yet we say it's of God. But you know, Jesus came in Matthew 5 chiding his people, saying, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. And it's up to us, each one of us, to make sure that the doctrine that we're hanging our salvation on is not a commandment of men, but truly is a commandment of God. And God's highest commandment is love. Love ye one another.
Hi, this is Prophet Ashley. Luke 6 tells us to give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. Because you've been blessed by today's message, go to www.drpaulaprice.com and click on Sow a Seed. Thank you for attending today's Sunday sermon with Dr. Paula Price. Don't forget to participate in Dr. Price's live, weekly, interactive radio talk show right here on Blog Talk Radio every Thursday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Central Standard Time. Again, that is www.blogtalkradio.com/Paula Price Show.